to the Solney Studio on the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time, Sunday 13th of February. It's great to have you here, the team present, who I'll get to introduce themselves in a moment, but every person in every place who's listening as you're walking, as you're sitting, or working, or driving, it's great to have you with us to begin and to continue this conversation in preparation for this Sunday, which is also known in many places as World Marriage Day. So that may also be a part of our conversation. So first of all, I invite each of you here in the studio to introduce yourselves.
Kia ora, everyone. My name is Felicity Giltrap, and I'm the Consultant for Marriage Ministries in the Archdiocese of Wellington.
Great, Felicity. It sounds as though with that title, you're in the right place in the right time and the right day.
Yeah, hopefully.
Great.
Kia ora. My name's Rory, and I am a religious education advisor for the Diocese of Christchurch.
Kia ora tato. My name's Kath Petrie. I'm a retired teacher in the Diocese of Auckland.
Wonderful. And we begin, as we do always, in prayer. It's important that we approach the scriptures not just as text on a page, which we study and then apply to our lives, but as the Word of God. And for us, of course, as Christians, the Word of God is not simply a text on a page, even in the scriptures, but is the person of Jesus Christ. So in our desire to allow Jesus to encounter us through these readings, we become aware of our need for this Word, this presence of Jesus with us. As we pray in the collect, the opening prayer for this Sunday. O God, who teach us that you abide in hearts that are just and true, grant that we may be so fashioned by your grace as to become a dwelling pleasing to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, who would like to begin? Who would like the first word today?
I'll start off if you like. I think we're thinking about reading the first reading from Jeremiah, and those images of barrenness and fertility, which seem quite apt for marriage, not just in the sense of producing children, but also in the sense of mutual flourishing, having life to the full, because we acknowledge God's role in the partnership and also the role of each other as a couple in bringing about the realm of God here and now, as well as in the future. So at first it looked, the Old Testament reading looked a little bit bleak, but I see lots of links with the gospel.
Sure, I was taken by blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. And I think for me, initially, learning about Christ myself, learning how Christ works in my life, how I can have hope and trust in the Lord. Before we even look at a relationship, I think you need to have that grace that God gives you first. That's what struck me initially.
Well, for me, following on from Felicity's point in the first reading, really, I liked the verses following on directly from blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not when the heat comes, its leaves stay green. And where I live this time of year, we start to think about water in a more careful manner, and we watch the lawn and the garden dry out a little bit and do our best to prevent that from happening. And so in the evenings, I'm often out there, a little bit of water here, a little bit of water there, and it strikes me that a little bit of nourishment, a little bit of refreshment is required to make a marriage fruitful as well, and to keep the leaves green.
Well, the gospel reading, the Beatitudes, is really one of my favourites. We know it is the Sermon on the Mount, but of course here in Luke it's the Sermon on the Plain, or the Sermon on the level ground, you'll notice in the first sentence of this gospel reading. It's a powerful reading, and it's not at all a feel-good reading, because it addresses the reality of our human existence so directly, with situations that are common experience for people who strive to live in relationship with Christ. Experiences of poverty, of hunger, of weeping, of being insulted, being excluded. And it's to those of us who experience this at times, Jesus brings such hope. And then the reading goes on to say, woe to you who are rich, who have your fill, you've received your consolation. Now, if you're not hungry, you've got a problem. If your life is filled of laughter and delight, well, you really have no capacity for God. Like, you've got everything. And I often think we misunderstand our suffering and our struggle as being a problem that we have to overcome, but in fact they are the place where Christ is being incarnate. They are the place of our need for God. And when we turn to God in those difficult situations, we do experience his blessedness.
John, just picking up your first point about the difference between the Sermon on the Plain and the Sermon on the Mount, I think that's important because, you know, with Matthew, he's looking at Jesus as the new Moses. So he's on the Mount and he's giving the word like Moses did. Whereas with Luke, Jesus is at the level of the people that he's talking to. So it's more an illustration of God with us, Emmanuel, and God as part of the process. And it is a process, you know, that the kingdom of God, the realm of God, isn't here now, but it isn't just pie in the sky when we die. Mm-hmm. It's a process that we all need to be working towards. And part of that process is recognizing the things that might look like blessings, but are actually dangers in the process, because when you've got all that you need, when you're happy all the time, when you've got the house and the mortgage free and, you know, all of that, you're in danger of not seeing the process, not seeing other people and our interdependence, but also not being part of it.
I like the way, Kath, that you draw that distinction between the understanding of the people of the Old Testament encountering God on the mountaintop, and then the way that Luke here brings it down to the plain. In fact, that's the incarnation. God is no longer to be pleased and appeased in a distant heaven, but is a God who comes to us, who walks on the plain in the level place of our lives, and even in the pits of our lives. This is what the incarnation means. And I think sometimes that we try to be Christian in what I could call an Old Testament kind of way, trying to placate a distant God, call on help from above. It's interesting that sometimes people, when they pray, you know, look up. Well, what we need to do is to look within and to look down and to see that in the places of our own lives that feel most down, this is our capacity. This is our capacity for God with us.
Yeah, I think in my role, I've often come across people who've been hurt and who have relationships that have broken down. And I think what it's really, this reading really did speak to me for those people, in that it's up to the communities to come around them, to be Christ to those who are in pain. And I think that this reading, this gospel reading, really shows us how to be Christ to those who need our love.
I'd like to build on Kath's point about the process of faith, or the process of even being saved, and the challenges when we're comfortable. I think that was a really good point. When everything's going well, we can sometimes lose sight of heaven, ultimately, I guess, and that these the first reading and the gospel are trying to prompt us to look towards heaven, I guess. And I think it applies to marriages too. When there are challenges and difficulties, they can be life-giving, ultimately. They can move you to a new understanding or a new a way of approaching the issue. So I agree that often in a relationship, people, I think, will the difficulties that they encounter, if you can turn it into something you learn from, it can be really positive for you both growing together. And in terms of personal faith, I think if it can refocus you on what is important, and I think that's what the gospel is about. It's saying we can get tied up in a lot of what happens in day-to-day life, but heaven is where we're going. So let's focus on that. Let's be ready for that.
I was thinking, if you had to write a parallel beatitude about marriage, seeing that it is Marriage Sunday, and I suppose it's Marriage Sunday because it's next door to the Feast of St. Valentine on the 14th. So if you had to write a beatitude about marriage, you know, both sides of it, and I was thinking about that, and I thought maybe blessed are you when your marriage appears to be struggling, for you will realize that you are committed to working and praying for it every day. And then the opposite of that, woe to you who believe that you and your spouse are the perfect couple, for you will stop working at it and praying for it, and you'll take it for granted.
That's great, Kathleen.
Yeah.
You know, you just
so true.
Kath, I've never done this before, but I'm going to ask you to write that down, and we will add that where we've sometimes put the songs connected. Can you just
I'd have to work on it a little bit. I have to memorize the words, but you get the gist, you know.
I think it's very, very powerful what you've just said. I think you've hit that's exactly right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think absolutely true as well, in that every day you need to work on your relationship. And if you think you're blissfully married, something will come in and you know, give you a bit of a headache about something, and so it just takes every day. You just need to work on your relationship every single day through the little things.
A lot of people see marriage and priesthood, to speak from my own experience, as being significantly different. But as I've grown and walked and talked with more and more people who are married, and then people who have been married, and I see that we're really all in the same boat. They're really extraordinarily similar, because our prime relationship cannot be with another human person. Like, if we live in relationship with God, then the way that we live that out, whether we're single or married or priest or religious, is really secondary. The prime thing is the relationship with Christ. So much so, I'd be interested in your reaction, but I could even suggest that we need to be able to say, if you're married, to say to your spouse, you are the second most important reality in my life. So that, because too often, couples, when they're preparing for marriage, and this is where I do have some experience in journeying with probably several hundred couples preparing for marriage, I often ask them the same question, you know, why have you decided to get married? Because many of them have been happily together for 10 years at this stage. So why have you decided to get married? Well, because we love each other. And then I say, how do you know you love each other? And more often than not, they'll say something like, well, because we meet each other's needs. And at that point, I try and feign a look of concern. I say, oh, and they look surprised. And I say, well, what happens when your needs change? What happens when he grows in this direction or she grows in that direction? If it's about a mutual meeting of needs, this might be fine this year, but what about the future? Again, I would suggest that it is that because we see marriage as vocation and we see priesthood as vocation and we see living as a single person for those who are following God's call and do that as vocation, the prime relationship is with Jesus Christ. And that enables all the particular ways of living this out.
You know that hymn, see the face of Christ revealed in every person standing by your side. Is that a way of accomplishing what you're talking about, John? That that it's not there's you and Christ and your spouse, that your spouse is the face of Christ, you know, is the only Christ that you'll be meeting every day, sleeping with each night, you know. So it's recognizing Christ in each other. I'm sorry if that seems a bit simplistic.
No, I think I hear what you're saying. Are you suggesting that the spouse is the only face of Christ? Because I think what people who are married need to understand is that the need for friendship that we have as humans exists with many people. Mm. And too often, you know, if someone who's coming to a marriage is simply seeing the other as the one friend, then I think there is a problem. Like,
I think, Kathleen, as a couple, you reflect each other's love. So you're facing one another every day. But then at some stage, your love, you must turn outward. So you must turn to your community and your love becomes a sign of Christ's love in the community. Yeah, there's a song actually. It's a contemporary song. It's a few years old now, but it's called Jesus Be the Center. And with Jesus at the center of our relationship, that's how we reflect the love to our communities, I think, and we reflect Christ's love to each other. Does that make sense?
And, you know, the little community of the family and then the wider community of the wider world becomes so integral in making marriages work in lots of ways, don't they? I mean, that's something else, I guess, that we should be thinking about on Marriage Sunday, that the role of the family, that in an interesting newspaper article during the week, the family was seen as the top aspect of finding meaning in our lives right across the OECD. Faith came in some cases fourth or fifth. In New Zealand, I don't think it figured in the top five, but family was there. So, you know, what is the role of family and community? And I think you've hit it, Felicity. It's about enabling those two people to grow together and for them in turn to model their love and the love of Christ back out to the family and the community.
And of course, at this time during COVID, a lot of families are separated. They're disjointed. They're separated by distance, by sickness, by illness. They can't get to a couple. So a couple might be preparing for marriage. They might decide to have a wedding on a particular day, and all of a sudden the levels change and the family can't get in. And it's terribly heartbreaking because the couples need the family around them to support them, not only on their wedding day, but also for their entire marriage. So a couple can't stand alone. They must be supported by some community, and the community of Christ. And that's how they'll grow. And going back to the sound, that's how they'll become like trees planted by the stream. It's that the community actually is the water. It gives the life to the couple. And that's how I believe a couple will grow in their love.
I'm thinking of a quote I heard a few years ago that many people who are married have found helpful, and particularly those who are preparing for marriage. And that is from C.S. Lewis, who said, love is not a feeling, it's a decision of the will. And I been thinking of that, particularly in relation to the responsory today. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Blessed are they who make a decision to hope in the Lord, delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating on the law of the Lord day and night. Like, this is a decision. Like, marriage is a decision. Some days I will not feel like delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating on the law of the Lord day and night, but I do it. And in the same kind of way, I suppose it's a good analogy that some days I don't feel like eating healthy, but I might get away with it for 1 or 2 days, but then I'll begin to pay the price. So even when I don't feel like eating something green in a day, I do it. So marriage, life, the way we live each day is a choice. We have a choice, and sometimes our choice might be limited by some factors, but we've always got some degree of choice available to us.
I wonder if I can just pick up on another thread from the gospel, and we've mentioned it already, but that line, rejoice and be glad, I want to get my translation correct. I've got it here, sorry. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. I think... It's so important for us as Christians, as Catholics, to keep that front of mind. So the best marriage, the best career, the best property, houses, so on, holidays, there's more than this. And I think often in the busyness of the daily grind of life, family life, the dishes, the lunch boxes, all of that, we can sometimes lose sight of that. And I think that's something we need to keep front of mind and keep putting that message out there too. And it helps us in a way to then be joyful, and that enables us to have, you know, this life to the full. But even so, there's more than this in heaven.
Indeed. Well, we have just a couple of minutes left. What would be a final word from each of you if you were preaching to a congregation that you know this weekend? What is one point you would want the people to go home with?
I think for me, really, that there is hope in the Lord, no matter what the circumstances of your life at the moment, whether you are in a difficult situation, that Christ is there for you, that the welcoming arms of Jesus are there for you, that he is, as we said before, he is among us all the time. He's come down into the people. He's here with us. And so for those couples that are finding it really hard at the moment, I would say just hope in the Lord.
For me, I would be encouraging people listening to look around them into their own relationships, perhaps their own marriage, but also the rest of their relationships, the people around them, and look for where things perhaps are drying out, where things perhaps need some nourishment or refreshment, and try to provide that for their relationships. So whether it be through prayer, whether it be through making time for somebody, try to take some action that addresses one of those issues, so that, as the first reading says, when the heat comes, the leaves stay green.
I would think that I think of the awareness that these readings are asking of us, the awareness of the people around us in our parishes, people around us, you know, as you're saying, Rory, people around us who are going, whose marriages have foundered, who've perhaps wanted to be married and have never been able to be married. The people who are going through the tough times in marriage and in other areas of their lives. So being aware, and being aware that we, as a community of faith, have a responsibility to do something about this.
I think if I were preaching this weekend, a point I'd probably begin with is the difference between the Sermon on the Mount, which is a term that everyone knows of the Beatitudes, it's the Sermon on the Mount, and the point that you make, Kath, that yeah, for Matthew it is the Sermon on the Mount, but here in Luke it's the Sermon on the Plain. Like Jesus, as you point you make, Felicity, Jesus are present and active among us. And we can often get a little bit lost in the midst of the challenges that we face each day about how to live that. You know, what do I do? You know, I have to get ready to live this. No, the way that we live it is by making a decision today to center on Jesus Christ, because that's what the hearers of Jesus did. That many of them centered on Jesus Christ, and their lives became truly blessed. Now, that's not a decision that we have to make today for the rest of our lives. All we need to make the decision for the next hour or so. Like, I'm going to live the next hour, or if we can do it, the next day, with this focus on the centrality of Christ. And then at the end of that day, notice, is there anything different? Like, is this decision bearing fruit in my life? And I often give people the guarantee, look, it will. You will notice the difference. Not because I give a guarantee, but because God gives us that guarantee. So that's really the heart of the good news. God with us, present and active today in every situation, in every joy, and in every difficulty. Well, thank you. Thank you to team here, to you, Kath and Rory and Felicity. Great to have you beginning this discussion for all of us. And hopefully wherever you are listening, you continue this conversation as we begin to digest the readings for this Sunday. And we conclude, as we do now every time, with the prayer for the synod that really, in which Pope Francis is saying to us that the Spirit of God speaks not only through those who might be the named as teacher or priest or bishop or preacher, but through every person who is open to the Spirit of God. And that's what's happening here. And so we pray. We stand before you, Holy Spirit, e te wairua tapu, as we gather together in your name. With you alone to guide us, make yourself at home in our hearts, o matau nako. Teach us the way we must go and how we are to pursue it. We are weak and sinful. Do not let us promote disorder. Do not let ignorance lead us down the wrong path, nor partiality influence our actions. Let us find in you our unity, so that we may journey together to eternal life, te oranga tonotanga, and not stray from the way of truth, te ara o te pono, and what is right, te ara o te tika. All this we ask of you, who are at work in every place and time, in the communion of the Father, te matua, and the Son, te tamaiti, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.